Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Born in the Rockies, Coors Light is lagered cold for a crisp, clean taste. Filtered cold to ensure clarity and brightness. And packaged cold for peak refreshment. Because those who thirst for more deserve the world's most refreshing beer.
Welcome to the Hawk Talk Podcast, brought to you by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. Mike Side with 2010 Stanley Cup champion Adam Burrish. I am Pat Boyle. How you doing, Adam?
Great. PB, you?
Doing all right. I would prefer the Hawks with a few more victories. They've gone winless in the last five, 0-4-1, including three straight on their Western Canadian swing. What was your takeaway from that three-game road trip out west?
Yeah, I guess it would be kind of the first half. I didn't think they defended well, and from more of a defensive standpoint, more of the defensemen, I don't think they defended particularly well. Some turnovers in the D zone that led to goals. And like we talked about in our show, it's the game now, it's so offensive that you can't hurt yourself. When you listen to Quinville talk, you heard Taves talk about it. If you give up chances yourself by turnovers, by when you have the puck on your stick, not getting it out, those end up in your back of your net more times than not now with how good guys are. Let them earn it. They're going to make good plays on their own. Don't give them free ones. Otherwise, you chase the game is what's happened. And then that Calgary game for me, I thought the defensemen battled their tails off.
Yeah, and Joel said as much, right? Yeah. He said it was more on the offensive side than he had an issue
with. You know, you lose Duncan Keith's first shift of the game with a game misconduct. You're down to five defensemen. That's really hard on defensemen. Brent Seabrook played almost, I think, 28 minutes or whatever it was that night. That's a lot of minutes for guys. And they played their tails off. They're diving for pucks. They had that desperate mentality back there. And I thought the forwards let them down a little bit. Now, neutral zone mistakes, turnovers with the puck, not catching a guy on the back check. If the forwards would have battled and competed as hard as the defensemen did that game, I think you get a better result.
Yeah, you know, you look back, they've had trouble closing games or excelling in the third period. They had a 3-2 lead in third period in Calgary. It felt like it was just a matter of time.
Yeah.
That the Flames were going to get the equalizer, and then shortly thereafter, they get the go-ahead goal. So, like, you know, we've seen them with leads and then not close. What is it? Are you seeing anything in that third period tactically that they're doing wrong? Is it more effort? Is it more execution?
Well, I think the Calgary game, that one I think is a little different because when you're down to 5D – and you got those guys logging that many minutes, they're not joining the rush as much. They're just punting pucks out of the zone. It's not a puck possession game as much because you got Seabrook, you got Ruda, you got guys that don't usually play 25-plus minutes now have to play those big minutes. So you're not sustaining offense as much because once you do your defensive job, which they were battling their tails off on, you change, right? So now you're not supporting the offense as much. Now forwards got to dump pucks or get rid of pucks because you don't have that second wave of guys coming up the ice. So that's why I think we saw Calgary really pour it on, because it was just defend, get it out, and then reload to defend again. And so those games are tough, and you see that a lot when you get down to five D-men late in the game. Teams really start pouring it on you. So that was what I saw in that game. And then the earlier games, I think you go back to the, you know, Edmonton, Vancouver. Vancouver, you don't have your best player, Patrick Kane. Tough to play a game like that. And then the next game, he wasn't 100% the next night, but he, you know, like we talked about, he gutted that one out. He tried to conserve energy. He tried to make the smart plays. He would make a play and change. He had short shifts. Those are hard to play in. So two of the three games, you don't have your best player, your leading scorer. Tough to compete.
Good point. Good point. We asked Hawks fans on social media to submit their questions for you using the hashtag AskAdam. So let's answer a few of those. Here we go. Arizona Hawks fan writes, is it time to call up some Rockford guys? Dylan Sakura, Victor Aitzel perhaps. And by the way, Sakura has 4 goals, 6 helpers in 12 games. so far with the Ice Hogs. Is it time to call somebody up?
Yeah, I mean, I think if there's a guy to call up, he'd be the guy. He kind of fits the mold of where the game's going now, where it's not big guys, it's small, skilled guys that can make plays. I think the Hawks did the right thing sending him down. I don't think he had a great training camp. He didn't look confident. He looked like a guy that thought he might make this team, and it got him a little nervous. I've been there. I've been there before where all of a sudden you're getting close. You're like, holy man, I'm going to actually make the Chicago Blackhawks. I'm going to make the team. And now you start questioning yourself. You're not playing with as much confidence. You also see it 10 games into the season. You see it now with some guys that things settle down, game gets tougher. You see young guys now kind of, you know, now you see their true colors. And I think the Hawks young guys have done a great job. That's why there hasn't been a spot for him to come up yet. But now with a little bit of struggles, now I think you can find room for a guy like him. I think injecting some new blood, another skill guy, hopefully he found that confidence down there in the minors. Now I think he's a guy we'll see sooner than later.
All right, Arizona Hawks fan had several questions. The next is, should they consider putting Kane and Cat on the same line to jumpstart the offense?
Yeah, well, if I was in Arizona, I'd be golfing, not texting dumb Adam questions right now. But, yeah, I think, you, PB, you and I have talked about this a long time. I think those two guys would be genius together. I think you could get Kane. He's the closest thing on this team you have to Panarin for Kane to get back to that 100-point level. I think if you watch them when they get shifts together, Kane kind of lights up a little bit. He's flying around a little more out there. He's trying to find him. And, you know, we now that we have Sharpen here with us too, he made an interesting point that you have Kane and Schmaltz are the two best distributors of the puck on the team, right? They're guys that can pass it. Kane has added that element of finish over the years. Schmaltz doesn't have that element of finish. He's a setup guy. He uses his speed. He breaks away from guys, and he likes to set guys up. I'd love to play with a guy like Schmaltz that just wants to pass it because he can break away from guys. You just got to get open. So why have Kane and Schmaltz, really, if you think about it, why have them play together? Why not move Schmaltz with Saad and Taves and let him just set those two horses up and those hardworking guys up? And then you put DeBrincat, who's a shooter, who's developed into one of the best shooters in the league, I think, that release that he's got, and now have him get open for Kane. I think you got a lot of magic there. So I think at some point, I think they have to do it. And I think it'd be a lot of fun to watch those little tweaks in the lineup.
I could not agree more. Another question. You mentioned Schmaltz. Arizona Hawks fan wants to know, what's the deal with Schmaltz? Why has he been a non-factor this season? I think you touched on a little bit of it. The non-shoot first mentality out there, more passing, and you know, maybe Nick needs to get a little more selfish at times when he's got the puck.
Yeah, and I think that's – I wouldn't go to say that he's been a non-factor this year. I think he's had a – I think he does a lot of things that go unnoticed in a game too, especially in that Calgary game. You know, when I sit and watch the games, I write notes down a lot of times, and in the first period and a half, I had three great, unbelievable back checks that Schmaltz made to strip a guy of a puck or to take away a scoring chance, and he's as good as anybody in the league about that. And we talk about it. But I think it's an underappreciated fact is the way he can disrupt other team defensively with his skating and his tenacity on the pucks come back. I mean, think like a Marian Hossa kind of guy where he can disrupt you when you think you've got a break and all of a sudden somebody picks your pocket. The way he can create chances with his speed in the offensive zone. How many times have we seen him do a circle around the offensive zone this year? He didn't do that as much last year, but it's more confidence with the puck, wanting to make plays. So I think he's still been a factor. I think you're just seeing him still trying to figure out how he wants to play. And I think playing with Patrick Kane, sometimes they both want to find each other. They both want to help each other. Maybe separating them and putting – and I don't think putting Schmaltz on the third line, I think it was a good move by Quinville to wake him up a little bit. Now I'd like to see him with some shooters. But I did like that Quinville moved him right back with Kane the next game. And it was just kind of a dead game for them. But I wouldn't say Schmaltz has been a non-factor this year because I think he does a lot of things that really help this team.
All right, as we take a look at the lines, you've kind of made some suggestions for the top six. So let's kind of I'll just go over the lines that we saw on Saturday. It was DeBrincat, Taves, Saad, Schmaltz, Anisimov, Kane. The third line was Kunitz, Kampf, Cahoon. The fourth line was Fortin, Kruger, Martinson. What... You know, we've seen some changes in these lines, but bottom six-wise, what have you seen? What have you liked? What have you not liked?
I think they've been okay. I don't think that's been, you know, in the last five games that they've lost. I don't think it's because it's their bottom six. I think you could probably say they could use a little more skill on that bottom six. They could use a guy. I think now what depth is now in the NHL, it's having your bottom six guys that if one of your top six, if Patrick Kane is sick or Jonathan Toews is sick, you can slide a guy up there and not really lose too much. You can still get that playmaking skill, speed factor. Fortan is a guy like that. Mm-hmm. He's a guy that can slide in there. Cahoon has been in the top six. If you move him into the bottom six, he's a guy that would be a good bottom six guy on these great teams because you can slide him up to the top six and not lose a whole lot. As far as the fourth line goes, I think a great fourth line would be Hayden. Hayden on one side, Kunitz on the other side. And then you plug 16 in the middle.
Kruger.
You plug Kruger in the middle, and I think that would be I think that might be a really good fourth line. I'd like to see more of Hayden. I thought Hayden had a good training camp. I think he's been confident with the puck when he's been in there. He's been the odd man guy out most of the season right now. But I think as a fourth line goes for what this team has, I think that'd be a nice fourth line. You got Kruger with the responsibility and some speed, and then you got two guys that can cause some disruption. I think Kunitz can still be around the net and can still chip in if you give him some consistency and responsibility on that line. But I think if you talk about depth, that's what depth is now, guys that you can slide up into your top six.
All right, we go back to the Ask Adam questions. Brandon Fisher chimes in and says, hey, Adam, how are the Hawks going to improve overall defensively? What are you seeing as a former player that needs to be improved upon?
Well, you know what? I don't think it's a huge fix back there. I think it's just a little bit of maturity with some young guys. And like we've talked about a lot in our shows this year, it's when you have the puck on your stick in the defensive zone and you have time to make a play, it's got to either go to one of your guys' sticks or it's got to be hoisted out of the zone. And I just think with young defensemen, they try and make that extra super play. They try and slide it through a guy's stick or through his skates or make the pass cross ice. If you got a guy open 3 feet away from you, just move the puck up and keep it going north. And I think young defensemen, they want to impress. They want to make that really, really great player. They want to beat that guy one more time. Where I think a guy like Joakim Harju, I think he's done a great job of not doing that. I think playing with Duncan Keith, he's learned that sometimes a simple play is the best play. And I think of all the young guys, he's done that the best. I think Gustafsson, I think he's a super valuable guy. I think he's going to be a great defenseman in the league. At times, I think he gets carried away trying to make that extra play or trying to beat a guy himself. He gets the puck on a stick, and at times he'll give it away in the defensive zone because he does want to make that super play. And that just comes with more reps and maturity. And I think if they clean that up, I mean, listen to their interviews. That's what all the guys have said, too, is defensively we just need to be sharp with the puck. And if they can clean that up, and that's not a personnel thing, that's just a mentality and that's just seasoning. And then I think you see their defensively clean up a lot more.
All right, we seem to talk about it almost on every single show we do, the power play. On this road trip, they went 1-for-2 on the man advantage in Vancouver. They went 0-for-3 against the Oilers, 1-for-4 against Calgary. So, I mean, at least we're seeing some goals being scored on the man advantage. That said, we've tried to suggest ideas, solutions, what have you. Without beating a dead horse, can you summarize? I mean, they've tried everything, new 1-3-1 look, different personnel, you name it, shoot first mentality, moving guys around. What would be your suggestion? If you could go into that room and say, hey, look, and address the troops, what would you say to get this power play, or at least to get it on track?
Right now, I think I would just go in there and I would probably, and I think guys would say it too, hey, here's what we're going to do right now. I'm going to give you guys all in the position that if we get to the perfect set where I want you to be, you guys are five of the best players in the world. Go out there and make it happen. I'm not going to give you guys any more structure. I can guarantee you that they've been ran through a million different plays. You've had to do this to pass it to here, to pass it over there, to pass it to here. Let's run through that. Like a football play almost. And I think when things aren't working and when you've got too much going on in your mind, do this, do this, and do this, I think you're frustrated too, right? Yeah. I mean, these guys are more frustrated than fans are, than you and I are with this. Trust me, they hate this, the results they're getting more than anybody. So I think, you know what, forget it for two or three games. Go out there and make a play, Kane, or Taser, go out there and make a play. Joakim Harju or Duncan, you're going to be at the point, or Gustafsson, you're out there. DeBrincat, go get open, man. You're the shooter. You've got one of the best shots on our team. You know where to go. You can get open in 5-on-5. You can certainly get open 5-on-4. I'm going to leave this to you guys right now. I'm going to let you guys get in the zone. I'm going to put you guys in positions, then ad lib. You know, and I remember – I remember back in 2010 when these guys were rocking and rolling on the power play. That's really what it was. There's a lot of movement going on. It seems very rigid to me. It seems like they get there and everybody's kind of stuck. And you see Kane, if you see Kane on the half wall stick handling it and just looking and having nowhere to go, well, it's because there is nowhere to go. He's got no, there's nobody movement. And as a penalty killer, when there's no movement going on behind you, when you don't have to keep checking your shoulder, where's DeBrincat behind me? Where's Taves in front of the net? If they all just stand there and kind of wave their sticks in the air, that's really easy to kill. Now you just got to keep, make sure you keep Kane on your half wall and you stay in your lanes. It's an easy kill. I would say, guys, go out there, get some movement going, get some creativity going. What would you guys do if you went in a pickup hockey game and played 5-on-4 right now? Let's try that and let's get some creativity. Let's get some fun. Let's get some passion going. Maybe that'll loosen things up.
I agree with everything you're saying. I would load up. That would be one suggestion just from a personnel standpoint, because I do think – when they try to split up, say, DeBrincat and Kane, I think you're hurting yourself.
Yeah, I agree.
So I would try to load up. And then, I read a piece, and I shared it with you. Chris Cook wrote it in The Athletic in the last week on the Capitals' power play.
Which is sick.
Which is amazing. And a lot of it is consistency. They basically, four of the five guys have been there forever.
Yep.
And they've had a new one or two guy added, like last year, 2 years prior, so on and so forth. And if they go on an 0-for-6 run, they don't botch it and say, let's switch it up and put new guys out
right.
there. They stay with that five. So I think there's something to be said, too, about what you said, that rigidness. I think, and we always say gripping the stick tight or whatever, I think they need to go out there with the mentality, we're going to play, we're going to just try to pass this thing around for 35, 40 seconds and tire out these penalty killers a little bit. And then maybe some of the lanes will open up. Don't feel like you're going to be the one that's going to solve the power play issues in the first 20 seconds or the first 30 seconds. And then, oh, by the way, also brought up in that piece is that 75% of all 5-on-4 minutes in the NHL has the look of a 4-forward 1-D.
Yep.
Look, we're in a copycat league. Most sports is copycat.
Sports. Yeah.
If it's working for 75%, why not have it work for you? I would consider Gustafson, Joki Haru, Seabrook, whatever, as your 1D option. But try that a little bit and see, see if that changes anything.
Right. Put your goals out there. Right? I mean, who are your top goal scorers? Who are the guys that produce for you the most? Whoever your first unit is, that's who gets the majority of the minutes all season long. I mean, the second unit, they usually get the tail end. You want to try and start with that first unit as much as you can. So load that unit up with your best goal scorers, and it's usually not two defensemen, right? Unless you're the San Jose Sharks and you got Burns back there, and who's the other guy they just signed for $500 billion from Ottawa. Unless you're those two guys, Carlson.
Yeah.
The Hawks don't have those two guys. So put your one best defense, most offensive defenseman, and then your four best scorers out there, like Washington does. They don't try and even the load between two units. You load them up and go out there and make plays happen.
Get all of your Blackhawks news in the palm of your hand with the My Teams app by NBC Sports. The best place to stream the games, watch highlights, read articles, and more. Download the My Teams app today.
Let's go back to the questions. Andy Beck chimes in and asks, the favorite person you ever got into a fight with, who would that be?
Favorite? Have you ever been beat up every time and called that a favorite fight? Getting beat up, I don't have any really favorite ones. I don't know, man. I never had a favorite. I had one of my best fights ever was against Eric Nystrom, where I got one lucky punch and I knocked him out. Now he's a really good friend of mine. We actually played together and laughed about it. I'll always remember that one because it was in Chicago.
Was his dad the Bob Nystrom?
His dad was Bobby Nystrom.
Nystrom.
Yeah, Bobby
Nystrom.
Yeah, from the Islanders. Won with four Stanley Cups and scored the game winner in overtime. So I'll remember that one. I remember I had ACL surgery in 2010 and my first game back, first shift, I set my boy Patrick Sharp up with the goal 10 seconds into my first shift. It was Sharp from Burrish and Kane. I don't know how those two guys got on the ice with me. And then following faceoff, I got in a fight against Rich Kloon. We were playing the Kings then, so I'll always remember that one too. I hadn't played all season. In my first shift back, I get an assist in a fight. So I'll remember that one also. And then probably the first time I ever dropped my gloves with somebody in an NHL game was with Derek Bugard, and I realized that was a pretty big mistake right away. He's 6'6", 250, and I was 6 feet, 190 pounds, soaking wet. So
that was like to break it last week.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so the upcoming schedule, it's weird. It's like it's feast or famine with these guys. It's either, you know, 7 games in 11 days, or it's this situation where Hawks host Carolina Thursday, they're at Philly Saturday, and then they're at Carolina on Monday. So they'll play every other day starting Thursday against just two teams, all from the East, obviously. I think Philly and Carolina are both just on the outside of the playoff picture looking in. Any thoughts on the setup this week of facing Carolina with a home and home, or a home and away, so to speak, over a short period of time?
Yeah, the schedule has been a little odd. I mean, they played St. Louis now 3 times
already.
Yeah,
they're going to play them again.
And they're going to play them a fourth
week.
Time, and then they don't see them until the end of the season.
Yeah, which is odd.
Silly. I don't know why the league would do something like that, but who knows? They did it. I don't know. I think it'll be fun. I think now you get a different look at some East teams. You know, Philly has not been very good this year. To talk about a team that doesn't defend well and can give up a lot of goals, that one could be a high-scoring matchup. And then Carolina surprised a lot of people this year. They've been decent. They've been pretty good. It seems like they're playing with a little bit of a carefree attitude. Nobody's expecting much out of them. You know, the ownership change there that's gone on. And they seem like a team that's just, hey, we got nothing to lose. Go out there and play and see what happens. And that mentality seems to be working for them. So I think if you're the Hawks, you're looking at it, though, those are games that you should win. Those are some non-conference games where you can – or out-of-conference games where you could pick up some points. And try and kind of reset a little bit. I know that sometimes when you have the struggles like you do out west, and then you come back home and you got 4 days off or 3 days off, you have a day off yesterday, then you kind of get back to work. Now you can kind of reset and kind of go in with a new, fresh attitude, and now you start cranking it again at the end of the week. So I think the schedule right now, I think it was good to have a few days off for these guys and then come back and get hungry.
All right, one more question for you. This one's kind of, I guess say kind of mean.
Uh-oh. I'm used to that.
So. All right, so it's from Caitlin. Caitlin, she goes right here. She goes, how's it feel being the second most handsome guy on NBC Sports broadcast team now that Sharpie joined?
Oh, gosh, Caitlin. Here we go. Sharp's going to hear this now, Caitlin. You're going to make his head even bigger than it already is.
He barely fit in here the other night.
Well, it's funny because Sharp tells me I'm the third best looking guy behind PB and Sharp, so at least I appreciate that you rank me at second. I think that's debatable, but and we're having fun with Sharp up here. I'm still thinking we're going to have to prank him sometime, Pee Wee. We're going to have to get something and make him uncomfortable because he's feeling pretty cocky up here
really
right now.
Really feeling himself.
Yeah, so we're going to have to pull
What do you think? Is it like something we do on the air, something off the air?
I think it's got to be on the air. I think I think people like Caitlin, everybody else, they got to see this, and we got to knock Sharpie down a few pegs.
Okay. Okay,
so we'll
that's something we
that
work
and,
on.
And maybe Caitlin's got a couple ideas.
How about instead of ask Adam, you suggest to us the prank we should play on Sharpie, and we'll do it on a pre- or post-game show.
Yeah.
And, you know, keep your little most handsome thoughts to yourself, Caitlin, because, you know, we've got feelings too.
Yeah.
We're just kidding. Thank you for chiming in, as always, everybody. Really appreciate you guys rating the podcast like you have been. It's been fantastic. We just came off our most successful month of doing this, and we've been doing this now for a good year and a half. So we appreciate all the feedback. Great stuff as always, Adam.
Thanks,
PB. I'll see you Thursday night.
You got it.
At the United Center. And we will have actually the next 3 games all on NBC Sports Chicago. We will have pregame live coming your way from the United Center at 7 o'clock on Thursday night. Thanks for listening to the Hawks Talk Podcast, brought to you by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. For Adam Birch, I'm Pat Boyle. Thanks for listening. Go Hawks.